If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 6 through 12 today. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, we'll be in verses 6 through 12. In 1992, a movie, A Few Good Men, came out. It was a courtroom drama investigating the death of a Marine at Guantanamo Bay who had died from an illegal hazing. It pitted a Navy lawyer, Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, played by Tom Cruise, against Marine Colonel Nathan R. Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. I don't know if you remember the movie, but you have more than likely at one point or another heard the oft-repeated line from the movie that comes during the scene when Colonel is giving his testimony on the stand and Lieutenant Caffey explains that he wants to know the truth, to which Colonel Jessup replies, "You can't handle the truth." I've heard that line many times over the years, and what strikes me today is that the world can't handle the truth. It is a world that increasingly seeks after the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is a world that tries like its master did when Satan called to God a liar by asking Eve, "Did God really say?" It is a world, John has told us, that is passing away. But as Camto preached a couple of weeks ago, we can overcome the world. If you will just look at the verses for tonight and look at verse 5, just above what we're going to be in, which in the ESV it's worded as a question which reads, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Jesus answers this question for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, which reads, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.' So who can overcome? Apart from Jesus, no one. The only way to overcome the world, the only way to have eternal life, the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus, his Son." This is a bold claim. It is a claim that all other religions lead to death, all of them. We are not called to believe this blindly. We have a multitude of witnesses that speak to its authenticity. John starts his letter, we see in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, "That which you have heard from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, life that was made manifest, we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." This letter is a testimony and encouragement so that we will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that we will have eternal life. As we get into our verses today, we will see that John is providing additional sources of his testimony. His goal is for us to have confidence that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's get into our verses, starting in verse 6. "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." John has provided us with additional witnesses to consider their testimony. His witnesses, he will call to the stand, so to speak, are the water, the blood, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. So let's look at verse 6. This is he who came by blood, by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. So what does John mean that Jesus came by water and the blood? Who are these witnesses he is called on? There are several possibilities. Some might say he's referring to the water and blood that issued from Jesus' side when he was pierced by the Roman soldier. Now, while it certainly speaks to him being human, it seems, it certainly speaks to him being human and would speak to refute the first century heresy, which promoted that Jesus only seemed to have a human body. It doesn't really speak to him being the Son of God. Another possibility that were referenced are as it's referring to the ordinance of the Christian faith, namely believer's baptism or the Lord's Supper. While these certainly might speak to interactions of followers of Jesus to be able to participate in the water and the blood of Jesus, I don't think it really fits here either. I think it's more than likely that the water is referring to Jesus' baptism and that the blood is referring to his death on the cross, as these events testify to who he is. So let's call our first witness the water and look at Jesus' baptism. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be starting in verse 13. While you're turning, if you don't know who John the Baptist is, he is a person who was prophesied of in the Old Testament that he would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." When he was seen when he would come onto the scene and that they would see him, the people of Israel should be expecting the Messiah to appear. So as we look at chapter 3, verse 13, we see John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River, and this baptism was for the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So starting in verse 13, when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him, John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So in Jesus' baptism, first we see him performing an act that's not required of him. He was without sin. He had nothing to repent of. This is why John was hesitant to baptize him. But Jesus, as our example, does what's required of us. And we see John the Baptist's testimony of this event in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 32 through 34, which says, "And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" In Jesus' baptism, we have the testimony of John that he is the Son of God. And more importantly, we have the testimony from heaven that this is the Son of God. The water testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's call our next witness, the blood, and look at Jesus' death on the cross. If you will, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, and we will look through verses 33 through 39. I know you didn't think you're going to have to jump around a lot. Sorry. Yeah, Mark 15, we're going to be verses 33 through 39. The Messiah's death was foretold long before by the prophet Isaiah, which I would encourage you to read later. It is in Isaiah chapter 53. In it, Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. So that event, as we read it in chapter 15, starting in verse 33, and when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in that ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that this was the way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. As we look at the account of Jesus' death, again we see Jesus doing that which is required of sinners. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Every person has sinned and earned death. Jesus was without sin. He took the punishment we had earned. And as we look at the account, we see the skies darkened for 3 hours. The curtain separated the Holy of Holies from the inner chamber of the temple, split from top to bottom, meaning that there was now a way open to God. And we have a Roman soldier, a pagan, after witnessing the events, declares, truly, this man was the Son of God. The blood testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Our next witness is the Holy Spirit. As we continue in our passage in verse 6, and the Spirit is the one that testifies because the Spirit is truth. Jesus told his disciples that he would be sending the Holy Spirit. We see in the Gospel of John, chapter 24, verse 26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And again in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us testifies to us that Jesus is the Son of God. John even warned us back in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Our final witness is God the Father. Continuing in verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony that God bore concerning his Son. Now I can stand up here and I can tell you my testimony, how God changed my life. And he has changed my life. It is a life that's really not recognizable from the wretch that I was. But while it might inspire some, and hopefully if you examine it, it will show evidences of grace that I've been given. Should you base your hope on my testimony? We have the testimony of God, the creator of the universe, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he has given us his word, and that word became flesh. All scripture is God-breathed, and it testifies of Jesus. He is the seed that would crush the head of the snake that we read about in Genesis chapter 3. He is the offspring of Abraham that, as Genesis 22 says, shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all nations be blessed. In Numbers 24, Balaam tried to curse the Israelites. He blessed Israel and prophesied of him, saying, I see him, not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Psalm 2, the Lord declares, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, again, the Lord says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. King David wrote of his death in Psalms 22, and again of him seated at the right hand of the Father in Psalms 110. Isaiah the prophet spoke of him as being born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7, and again chapter 53, Isaiah speaks of his atoning sacrifice of his death, or the atoning sacrifice of his death. Micah chapter 5 tells us he'll be born in Bethlehem. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the good news of his coming. And Revelation tells us he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is who he says he is in Revelation chapter 22. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. God has given us his Spirit, so we know his testimony to be true. And this is his testimony, that God gave us eternal life, this life, in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Now, after Colonel Jessup exclaimed, "You can't handle the truth," he proceeded to tell that he had ordered the hazing that led to the soldier's death. Although he tried to cover it up, he got caught in a lie, and then he told everyone that he had ordered it. He expected to walk out of the courtroom and return to his post. He did not think his actions were unjust, and he was amazed when they read him his rights and placed him under arrest. He was unrepentant, and in the end, he could not handle the truth and was carried off to judgment. We all face a future where we will be carried away to judgment. And many of us think that we have not done anything wrong, that we are a good person, that our actions are just. But the truth is, we have all sinned against a holy God. That sin has separated us from him and earned us death. But as John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God has provided a way for us to have life. He gave us his Son, Jesus, who took on the wrath reserved for us because of our sin. He died on the cross as the perfect atoning sacrifice because of our sin. But death could not hold him. He rose from the dead on the third day, conquering death, and today he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And if we confess our sins and turn to Jesus, believing that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins and rose from the dead, we will have eternal life through him. So I've presented the witnesses. Each one testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. If you are still not sure, or if you have questions, please come talk to me, or you can talk to Pastor Michael, and we would love to have a conversation with you about it. It is the most important thing you can do, because as John said, whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So what's your verdict? Is Jesus the Son of God? Let's pray.